for this blessed assurance and hope at the same time, which we have in us, to be then with the Lord, and this then forever. And He will wipe off all the tears from our eyes, and there will be no sorrow and no crying anymore, but throughout eternity, peace, joy, and everything what goes with it. We have the promise, what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, this God prepared for them who love Him. And people who love God must have been first loved by Him. Otherwise, this is only a lip confession, and this will not bring one into heaven. Only the love of God, which was manifested in Christ Jesus, will bring us to our destination. And therefore it is also written, love never ceases, for it never began. It is as eternal as God is eternal. Knowledge, wisdom, all gifts, all tasks, everything will one day have an end, for these things had their beginning. But that what was in God will be eternal, because it didn't start. And so we are grateful that we may comfort one another with these words. People who in these days open their eyes and ears and so forth, they must despair, for they see the hopelessness. They see how everything comes really to its end, also the unbelievers. And they just wait with a ducked head when it will be so far. And we may take the promise seriously. When you see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. The others sit there and think, hopefully it doesn't happen today. And we, as the bowed down ones, we may lift up our heads, for we know that our redemption is drawing near. The roles will soon be exchanged. Those who are rejected now will then be the esteemed, and those who are esteemed now will then be the rejected ones. The roles will change for our favor. Don't you worry. Our God is a faithful, a true God, and every word of God must become second nature to us and become a certainty, for a firm part of our spiritual life. We must, with an inner agreement to every word of God, we must have a real amen and a real yes. For in Him is the yes, and in Him is also the amen for all promises of God. He has taken the overall responsibility for it. Why should we be grieved? It is so that at the most we are not satisfied with us or with the circumstances in which we are. With God and with that what God has done, we are always satisfied. Not a single time I complained about His word, about His blessings, and about that what God has done. If I sometimes lament a bit, then most surely because of other things, but not because of that what God has done. Just the contrary. It strengthens me and raises me up. And so we must learn to separate these two things from one another and to understand that they belong to two different worlds. We will never be able to place the spiritual into this world, and this world we will never place into the spiritual. These remain two different things. And our Lord says, my kingdom is not of this world. And if we understood this so far, then we will look at the temporal things as timely, not giving them anymore the weight as we probably did sometimes. Now, in these two meetings, in the morning and afternoon, I don't want to speak, because in the evening, in the main meetings, I doctrinally want to bring the things, if God helps me, which must be said and taught, so that we are brought up to date in the faith. This is my deep desire, not just to be a part of a program, but really having part in that, what God is doing in this time. This morning you have heard a sister prayed in Polish. I forgot to welcome the brothers and sisters from Poland. May God bless you and be welcome. I mean you sisters here who you have visited us. God bless you in our midst. They understand German very well, but when it then comes to prayer, then it's easier for them to speak in their own language. Then I understood that Brother Molura, after this service, will return home. And I think it would be good if he at least would greet the church, because it would not be fair when he returns without having had the opportunity to at least extend greetings. I would like to ask him to come now to the front. How it will go on, I don't know. Of course, just briefly, from the Italian into French, and from the French into German. That's how it will be. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What a depth is expressed in these two verses. The one is called a light affliction, which is but for a moment. But which worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We know, if we have read Hebrews 11, that all servants of God had to go through many trials. And nevertheless, if one could ask them today, would you walk this way again? Then they would say yes to it. No matter how the earthly way might be, important is, as the songwriter sings, if it only ends with you in glory. This is the most important. A bad way without the right destination is not good at all. But the way, no matter how it might be, with the right destination, this way we want to walk. And it says then, as an explanation, because we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I believe here we can all make an examination. Every time when we looked at the things which can be seen, then the light affliction became heavy, and then we almost collapsed under it, because we did not understand that it belongs to it to prepare us unto the great and eternal destination, and that we then also reach it. But if we do what is written in verse 18, because we do not look at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. You all know, there were people who not only criticized now, but already in the days of the apostles. They said to Paul, his letters, they are very mighty, but he can't talk at all. And you all know all these things which were presented. There were people at the time who didn't care about what he said at all, because they did not recognize that he spoke by a divine commission to the people. They bypassed it. Somewhere Paul says it. Some preach Christ of envy, others of strife, and the third to add affliction to my bonds. So there were various motives, not only today, but already at that time, there were people who could not wait until God calls them and then places them into his body, into the divine harmony, that all ministries and offices in the church can be carried out as it pleases God. You all know, when Paul writes about the church, then he sees Christ as the head and all the believers joined together as members of the one body of the Lord, through whom the will of God must take place and will be carried out. God will not send an angel Gabriel and no Michael. God will make use of his church to make the completion of the plan of salvation. We can rely on this, but God wants to rely on us also sometimes, that we understand where he wants us to be. And when Paul then lines out how the communion of the several members to one another is, if one member suffers, that's how he writes, then suffers the whole body, then it pains the whole body. Yes, every member feels the pain of the other. Today, how does it look like? My goodness, one may not even think about it. Today, somebody can drown in pain and immerse in desperation and be no more here. And all the others, they nicely, nothing happened to them at all. And why is it? No divine connection with the head. And therefore no divine connection to one another. If the pain of the brother is not your pain, and his trouble is not your trouble, then ask yourself, and then I ask myself, if we as members were joined to this body, whether we bear with one another, whether the same life flows through all of us, whether this divine connection is here. If it is not so, then it should be so shortly. And I don't want to anticipate that, but I believe that the actual restoration does not only bring us back to the last chapters of the book of Acts, but really to the first ones, where there is no to and fro yet, no false brothers, no false doctrines, where everything was still one heart and one soul, where one prayed and the place was shaken, where everyone interceded for the other, where the first divine love burned in all hearts. Later on, it was also different. Then some already preached. The resurrection took place already, and it started already with the various doctrines, as we partly have them today also. No, I believe with all my heart that God leads us totally back to this beginning, to the origin. Brother Rus already emphasized it so nicely at Pentecost, where everything what was called out by the word, what was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, when they gather together to be baptized with that one Spirit, to have the same faith, to speak the same spiritual language, and then not the one needs to teach the other, then we are happy when God can teach us all, and when we can help one another with the gift which God has given to us. It will not be a one-man system, and also not a two-man system. It will be the final work of our God in the midst of His people. Our own imaginations, we can leave them at home already today. Them God does not need at all, because His program is finished already. But we have, of course, the inner longing, and this the longer the more, to understand God better and to become a part of His work in these days, and also to be a part of Moses. There's the well-known word, which time and again touches me since many years, Exodus 33. This giving of evidence of the divine grace is therein that God lets us know His ways. It's written here in Exodus 33 from verse from verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now it comes. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. Are these not wonderful words? The self-confidence of Moses, which he had at the first time, was gone. He was no more the strong man who slew the Egyptians and who hastily buried them. He was no more the man who could do it himself. But after 40 years of waiting, and do you know where the whole secret is? Moses went by himself exactly 10 years too early. You can read it in some scriptures. God has said to Abraham, after 400 years, I will bring out your people out of Egypt. And you can read it that they exactly 430 years they have been there, and only then they were called out. And in the same way you can read that Moses, from his first to his second going, he again had to wait 40 years. So, 430 minus 40, 390. And it can happen to us if we act over hasty. Although God has appointed us for a task, but if we cannot wait for His hour and for His time, that then some things can come upon us which didn't need to be. And therefore, we don't want to dictate God anything. Not putting up any calculation and say, now this and that will take place. God will not even listen to these things. He doesn't even look at them. He has made the plan, and in this divine plan, we want to be included. What good would it be for you if here things would be demonstrated in which God is not in? It's no good for me at all. I want to be true and remain true until the last day. I don't believe that a servant of God needs to demonstrate something to the people. We wait until the hour of God comes, and it comes surely. And it comes in our time. It's very close. Why then should we set our own times? No, God has determined everything, and this is enough. Here is the wonderful thing that Moses says, if I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways. Consider that this nation is thy people. Therein is the whole secret. It was not the matter of Moses, and in this time it's not the matter of a Brother Branham, but it was the matter of God from the very beginning. He used tools and he built his kingdom, but it is and remains the matter of God. It continues, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight." And then it continues with verse 16 or 15 perhaps. "And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Not only Moses, but all the people. A man of God never thinks of himself, but on the people of God. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that, that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. If we may apply this to the New Testament church, and this I believe, for the people of God is not a denomination, but the called out, the chosen church, and she must finally be different from all the other churches on the earth. And this difference we don't make by new teachings or by old teachings, but by this, that God is in the midst of his people, working his works, manifesting his presence. He himself makes this great difference. Yes, he makes the difference. And therefore, we would say, faithful Lord, as you announced it then, so let it now be manifested, that between the church of the living God and all the organized churches, one could see the divine difference, that here is no organization, but a living organism put together by God himself, a church on which he can rely on, a people which is called by his name. And I believe that God will manifest this difference before the rapture, as he did then when he led out the people of Israel out of Egypt. Everywhere was darkness, but in Goshen, where the people of God waited with a promise, there was bright light. And everywhere else it was so dark that one could grasp the darkness. It must repeat. God seeks what has disappeared and brings it back again. That's how it is written in Ecclesiastes. And what was will be again. Our God does such wonderful things. If he did them once, then he can do them again and again, because they are so wonderful, perfect, and filled with blessings for his people. And here we want to pray earnestly, Lord, once more. Oh, if one remembers the Samson, I feel sorry for him most of all. But he nevertheless, in his heart, he had this deep wish that God once more would come to his right and once more could manifest his power. And the same desire we have, I think I can say this for all of us, who has this deep desire in his heart that he could say day and night, O God, let the end with the church be at least in such a way as the beginning was. You all think like this, right or not? Let me see your hands. The amen I could not see. Thank you. God bless you. It's the deepest longing of our hearts. And we will, based upon the word of God, we will recognize that the Lord has not only made words, but that he watches over it to fulfill his word in the church and then also on Israel at the right time. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Hallelujah. Also this request which thou hast spoken now, I will do it. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Our heart does not desire any earthly things. This may be thoughts, but our heart has only one desire, namely that what God promised, to see it in reality and to experience it. The Lord answers us today with the same words. Also this request which you bring before me, I will do it for you. The God of Moses is our God. And Moses said, thou shalt know that this is thy people and not my people. That is your matter and not my matter. I was just placed by you at this place to do what you commanded me. But the whole matter is your matter. And how nice that Moses, in the presence of God, could only speak such requests which God answered on the spot. Beloved, the closer we come into the presence of God, the less it becomes with our desires. And suddenly, all our desires merge together into the one single request, which we then bring into the presence of God, and he will answer us. And afterward, we will be astonished that even the many of our wishes will have found their fulfillment. But God examines our hearts. He doesn't want that we write a Christmas letter with all the many wishes. He wants to show us the main thing and then saying to us, as written here, And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Something wonderful. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. You all know, the Lord introduced himself to Moses and said, I am the I am. Tell them, the I am has sent me. Moses knew who sent him, and the Lord knew Moses and said, I know thee by name. Also us, you and me, the Lord knows by name. We may bring the main concern as a request into the presence of God. And he will tell us, also this your request I will fulfill, because you found grace in my sight. You know, if a man has found grace with God, then this includes that from the first up to the last promise, all will become true for the glory and for the praise of God. Finding grace means with God to be veiled into his mercy and love, that God has given his yes toward you and me. He wants to say to us, you don't have to be afraid. You found grace before me until the last request. We will see everything fulfilled. But it will come to the point that we will not write letters of wishes and performing long prayers, but to speak out the will of God in the presence of God as a request. What was put into us by the Spirit according to the word that God wants to bring to fulfillment. Every man of God, in the certain times or circumstances, he brought that before God, what was necessary at the time, and the Lord answered. You shall know this afternoon, precious heart, dear brothers and dear sisters, if God, already in the Old Testament, where his wrath was still blazing, if he can say already there, thou hast found grace in my sight, I let you know my ways and let thee see my plans, and so forth. How shall it be today with us, where the wrath has settled and where grace came to the full breakthrough? Therein I may rest, in the absolute certainty that God lets us know his ways, because we found grace in his sight. And not only that, but he will include us into all things what he purposed to do. Be strengthened in the faith. Be of good cheer. Our God watches over his word to fulfill it at the right time. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this precious and holy word of God. Lord, we want to cry out with Moses, not as we want, but as thou wilt. and we don't want to go anywhere, Lord, if it is not your will, Lord. This Moses could recognize, and this we may also recognize, that we cannot do anything from our own. Faithful Lord, we ask you for it. Thy will be done on earth as also in heaven, and especially in our midst and in our lives. We are here, Lord, in your church, among your people, faithful God. We don't know where to go. We don't know what we shall do. But you, O Lord, you are our Father. You are able to lead us rightly. If we do something by our own selves, then we will go astray, Lord, and it is doomed to fail, Lord. But if you walk with us, then we don't have to fear anything. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name. Lord, through your word, this afternoon we learned a wonderful lesson. May this lesson have sunk deeply into our hearts. And may we ponder on it, what you wanted to say to us. O Lord, in these days, people walk on their own ways, and they even claim you have sent them, and you would be in the plan. But Lord, we know, a Moses went also once this way, but then he could say for the second time, only if you go with us. And so also we want to say, if you go with us, then we want to walk this way. We thank you, Lord, in this hour. And we give you alone the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.